You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
All right, so, wow. This is episode 20 of Creative Quarantine. And I'm your host, Angelique Roche. Honestly, I had dreams of making it this far in the show, but I don't know if I ever conceived that we would be 20 episodes in 4 weeks later. But here we are, and today's guest, Janelle James, really, honestly, personified what it means to be in this state of limbo as a creative, thinking about what this means, how you adjust, how you shift, but also, if you're going to remain a creative after this is all over, and what does it look like? So we had a really amazing conversation. We talked about the Spanish flu. We talked about how you probably shouldn't be going over to your boo's house right now during quarantine. Nothing is worth that. And we had a real talk about what it means to live with a sort of anxiety in the reality of being away from family. And also, how do you keep yourself safe in a world that suddenly is so different than how the year started? It was an amazing conversation. I laughed a lot. She laughed a lot. We talked about the fact that a Black woman is working on a vaccine. If you didn't know, a Black woman is working on the vaccine for COVID-19. And we just had a really down-to-earth, very funny, sometimes very tangential conversation today, which honestly, I think is quite fitting for the moment that we're in. And as usual, and I've said this a dozen times, I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
All right, we are officially live. It is Friday. This is the 20th Creative Quarantine, and I'm really excited because I have one of my favorite comedians, but also just like, I mean, real down to earth sis, Janelle James is on the conversation block today.
Hi, friend.
How you doing?
Conversation. Isn't that wonderful?
We just have a conversation in the middle of the day because you know what? What else were we doing?
Well, I'm actually still working. I'm working on a show.
That is.
Knock on wood, pal. I'm still working on a show, Central Park. That ends in a month or so. But so that's what I would be doing. But other than that, happy to have a conversation.
There you go. Well, I mean, I think that's like a really cool thing. We were talking before we went live. It's just like this adjustment, right? Like we talked to a number of comedians this week. Kevin Fredericks at the beginning of the week, who's all digital. We talked to Frank Caliendo, who's a great impressionist. We talked to Amina Mani, who's a stage artist, but also clearly has done both our hair in the past because she's a badass. Who also talked about her whole like how braids were important to her hustle in New York.
Yeah.
Yesterday we talked to Kevin Avery, who's doing a lot of writing on TV shows, although he's
Kevin actually worked in the same building I worked in on another until we got sent home. So he was somebody I would see, you know, every day or every other day or so. And so yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah. It's 4 weeks in. What's that look like for you, man?
I'm in LA. So we shut down, I think, earlier than everybody else. So it's been more than 4 weeks for me. And I remember the day we eventually got home. That day, I had come home anyway thinking, tomorrow when I go in, I'm going to be like, yo, I'm not coming in here tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like that kind of shit, because it was like bubbling. And I'm very, like, soon as I started hearing about it, I was already like, had my little gloves, had my Lysol wipes. Like, I was not.
You, me, same boat. You mean same boat?
I mean, I didn't fucking hoard shit like a goddamn maniac, but
yeah,
I was like, okay, well, let me get some shit together, you know? So when they started getting more aggressive about like wash your hands, 6 feet, I was like, dude, because the people I was working with still coughing, still coming to work. I was like, yo, I'm not coming in here anymore. I was like so freaked out. So it just so happened the same day that I was like, I don't care, fire me or whatever. They were like, stay home. Even, thank God before I could say it. That was
You're right. I should stay home.
That was the ancestors looking out for me because I sure was going in with an attitude.
No, it happened the same way with me. I remember having this internal monologue to myself. It was like, All right. It's the last time I'm going into the studio. It's the last time I'm not getting on the train. Because what happened is I had come down to DC, see family, and this dude behind me was holding in a cough. And I was just like, it's the last time I'm getting on the Amtrak.
Yeah.
Went in a car, came back to New York, went into the studio twice that week. And I was like, on that last one, I was like, guys, I love you. And I tell the story and people think I'm a little crazy because I am the actual little like over angsty person too. Mm-hmm. I got out of the studio in Midtown and I'd already gotten permission to take Ubers instead of getting on the subway. And I understand the privilege of this conversation. So I don't want anybody to like not.
Hey.
But the guy.
Privilege. We're very outnumbered. It's fine.
Right. So the guy who drove me in the Uber was touching all over his face. He was touching the steering wheel. It was a normal cough. It wasn't a dry cough. There's no excuse. But like the angst of having a dude who also was driving like a New York cabbie. I was like, I left the studio and I walked from Midtown Manhattan to Bed-Stuy. And I knew that was the day I wasn't going back to the studio.
Yeah. I mean, what's the downside of being careful? None, you know, so it's whatever. But the now result has been, yes, I've been in the house for more than a month with no end in sight. Like they keep saying, hey, May 15th. But I feel like they just like spoon feeding it to us.
And I guess they have to, right? Like when you look at Minnesota and Wisconsin and folks out here protesting, and I get it, man. I had an interesting.
I don't get it.
I had an interesting conversation on civil liberties. So the background on me, you know this, but like most people don't. I'm also a lawyer. So I have this brain where on the other side of my brain from the paranoia, it goes, well, technically, you do have the right to go to your cabin in all regular circumstances when there is not a pandemic that is killing people who don't actually even have the bandwidth to protest as you are protesting right now. And yes, it is your right to protest, but also it's everyone else's right to live.
So wait, you said the right to go to your cabin, that's what they're protesting? I thought they wanted to go back to work.
So part of it, so some of the protests are, and it's interesting because it's conflated. There are a number of things they're protesting. Some people are protesting going back to work. Some people are protesting being able to go to their second homes. Some people are protesting the stay-at-home order. It's very conflated, and that's kind of it's hard, right? Because
I mean, it's also going to be hard to find sympathy when they out there with Confederate flags and shit. Like everything is being kind of muddled, like what their message is. So I'm not. Maybe that's why I don't get it. I don't get what they're asking for based on how they're protesting.
Yeah. And I mean, it's rough, right? Because then you see, you know, Black and brown people out here, essential employees working in grocery stores, working at restaurants that are still open and doing delivery. Or, yo, did you see the story? And I mean, I'm going to go on a tangent for a second. And I'm just heated. I'm at the verge of tears. They literally detained a black doctor who was testing homeless people in Miami. All he asked for was an apology, though. And that's such a gracious place to be in.
We are the most gracious. I feel like that's why, not that we shouldn't be, but it's just, I feel the worry for racists is that Black people are always, we just simmering, waiting for the time where we can treat them like they treat us. And time again, they fuck with us. And then we're just like, can we just have an apology? We're like, oh, I forgive you. Oh, we're hugging the racist. You know what I mean? And it's just like, they cannot wrap their mind around the fact that we just trying to live. Like, ain't nobody work. Like, please just leave us alone.
when you look at like Michael Che, yo, what Michael Che did this week, like, the fact that his grandmother died last week, mm-hmm. and he paid the rent for a full month for all of the government housing where his grandmother lived. That kind of that could, and all he's like, but can y'all just forgive the rent for everybody? Can that's all I'm asking.
That's great what he did and everything, but that's where I lay. I'm just like, why are they having to even? Why are individual people? And Michael Che, I mean, he's wealthy, of course, or else he wouldn't be able to do that. But let me dial it back. He's rich. That's why he's able to do that. But this, he ain't wealthy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It did not come down to an entertainer. And this is public housing. So why is rent even due? And it seems to be public housing that's mostly occupied by senior citizens. So why is it, you know? So, yeah. It's like charity is all good and well, but it should not be warranted in the United States when we have so much money.
And I think that's kind of the interesting reason why I wanted to have these conversations, because there's now, if you look at the 4 weeks these conversations have been going on, you can see like the evolution of, hey man, we're just trying to make it to, you know, some of this stuff. Hey, this is a little,
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see if anything truly changes. I feel like with Trump and his gang, they are, so God, what's her name? Naomi Klein, you know her? Mm-hmm. She has that book about, I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's basically about how governments and people in power use disasters to shore up their what they're doing. And that's basically, I mean, he was doing it before this shit happened. Mm-hmm. And it would happen. And after a series of fumbles, I feel like they finally figured out how they can profit from all this stuff that's happening. And so it's just like, how can we affect change, or how can anything change if we have a freaking madman, you know, at the helm of it, and we can't go outside, you know? So that part of the protest, like with the conspiracy theorists who are like, oh, this is all to hold us in bondage and to stop us from, you know, moving freely and doing those things. I can see why that could be something you can believe, because that's what's happening. We can't move freely. And meanwhile, they're just like collecting money from everywhere. I mean, just the stuff I'm reading about them confiscating medical supplies from different states and then like stockpiling them for themselves and then giving them to medical companies who then sell them. Like, these are things we in whatever state we in, we paid for with our tax money. They're giving it to their friends who have contracts with medical companies and then reselling it to us. They're getting paid twice. It's crazy. And so having that knowledge, I'm like, me individually, what do I do? You know what I mean? That's what it always comes down to. Like, so what do I do about that? I know it's happening.
But what do you do? And that's actually a really great segue into the next question. Like, how are you staying grounded right now, particularly as a creative and, you know, as a businesswoman? One of the things that folks really, really don't understand, I think, is every single comedian that has gotten anywhere doing anything is a small business.
We are 18 employees in one. Sometimes I just think about all the things I've had to learn just to do stand-up. Marketing, website design, graphic design, you know, public speaking.
It's not like a Strayer commercial, and I love it.
Wills, you know, whatever. Notary to Republic. But yeah, reading contracts, just all type of shit. So, I mean, I don't know if I've ever been grounded, but what am I doing to stay grounded? I don't know. I don't stay grounded. I float away and then I try to come back periodically. That's what it seems like. I'm just trying not to spiral, which happens sometimes. And I guess I'm just trying to allow myself to do it, because like, ain't like I got anywhere to be. Might as well spiral and cry for a minute. But as far as like my career, I haven't even really been able to wrap my mind around what my next step is, because I just can't. I can't worry about everything at once. You know what I mean? So my first worry is my health, the health of my family, the health of everybody that I'm seeing being affected. So that is just taking up so much of my brain space that I can't even think. Because again, I'm sure again, this is because I'm working. I'm still working. I'm still making paychecks. So I'm not there yet where I'm just like, what am I, you know, freaking out as far as that. So I guess once this job ends, that's when I'll get to that. Like, what the fuck am I going to do with myself? I mean, I've given it some thought, but I'm trying not to spiral about it. I have no idea what it is because my goal has, I'm not a person who looks for publicity, even though I'm in a public field, you know what I mean? I've always been kind of like, hey, here's the thing I made. And then I retreat, you know what I mean? I'm bad at promoting. I'm bad at doing what we're doing right now. I'm bad at, you know, I was just telling my friend, like, I'm not one of those, like, you know, hey guys, it's Janelle at, you know,
which also you're not so bad at it when you do it though. Cause that was great.
But that wasn't me. No, I'm mimicking.
That's definitely not.
Hi guys. Whenever you ever hear me talk like that, but, but, so yeah, it's going to be difficult for me and people like me. I mean, but it's also just like whenever any new technology comes out, all the comedians complain, you know? So when people start going on YouTube, it's like, oh, the YouTube comics, oh, the Instagram comics, oh, now you on TikTok. Like, we're all just afraid of change. Not all of us, but a lot of us are afraid of change and just can't wrap our mind away around a new way of doing things. And I am definitely in that boat.
I think it's hard because you really love comedy. Like we've had this conversation before, like you chose comedy. Like, yeah. and that's, you know, you had a career and you were like, no, I want to go be a comedian. This is what I'm going to do.
So how, you know, crazy to what I feel, finally find my thing. And now it's like, oh, that's over. So that's why I don't even want to, I don't even want to go down that road in my mind. Cause I'm going to freak out. Cause it really, I was having that feeling like, oh, I finally found my thing. Cause I've had a lot of jobs and all types of different, you know, fields. And, you know, everybody that knows me well is like, oh, this is the longest you've ever stuck to anything. And I feel like I was doing pretty good, had some good momentum.
I mean, you had a whole comedy festival.
TV, like now, and, you know, Black Monday, and, you know, writing. But now, I mean, the entertainment industry, I don't know what's going to happen with. I don't know how you shoot things and have comedy shows, which necessitate a crowd and any of that in a pandemic. I really don't know. So I am not spending money, basically.
I think that's a human thing, right? I think people forget at the end of the day, it's okay to be like, oh, okay. So this is where we are. I don't know how any of this works. Here we go.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like in the space where they think they have to have it all figured out. And, you know, everybody's on a different level of that, right? Like everybody's like, well, I know I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
Let me go sit down now. Like that's the priority.
Who are being productive. I'm like, do your thing. Like we all have to deal, you know, handle this how we handle it. I myself, I can't think beyond the job that I'm being paid for right now. Like it was hard for me to write on a show and do all the other stuff that I was working on for myself when there wasn't a pandemic going on. You know what I mean? It's hard for my brain to do all those things, much less this ever-present stress of what the fuck is happening, you know? So people who are like, oh no, it's just, this should be the time that it, I'm like, no, like, it's not a vacation.
That is literally not what almost, like literally I will tell you, there might have been one or two guests out of Broadway, TV, stage, writer's room, writers who have been on the show have been like, I'm going to do all the productive things right now. Everybody's literally like, yo, I am going to try.
And well, that makes me feel good. Yeah. I mean, there's some sociopaths out there writing a 6 pilot right now. And that's just how they
do. That's how they process though. Like, I think that's really what it is. That's how they process. Yeah. They have to do that thing. And we had a guest last week, Brian Joseph Lee, who was like, yo, kudos to those who are producing everything right now. If that is how you process
right
now, might not be me.
It's not. I never even put the pressure on myself. I knew it wasn't coming. So I'm not even, I'm not even putting no pressure on myself to produce anything. Cause it's just not how I work. And it's not a vacation when you feel that you might die, you know, in a week, or your parents might die. Whatever. It's too much to then also to write a script right now. It's so crazy to me because it's almost like I feel like I'm writing fan, you know, like, what's the word? Science fiction. If I write anything where people are like outside talking to each other, it's just like, does that even exist anymore?
Will we have that again?
Bitch, I don't, man, look, don't. Oh, anyway. how do you even date after this?
Well, and I think that's also the interesting thing. Like, if you think about, someone sent me this really interesting picture the other day, which was a picture from like 1918. Don't quote me. It's Spanish flu, 1918. And it had an outdoor barber shop. And I was like, what? Because people were asked not to congregate inside. Right. They moved the barber shops outdoors, thinking that it would slow the spread of the disease. And I was like, yo.
They did it?
Huh?
Did it?
I don't know, but it was a great picture. It's a great thought and idea, but I'm pretty sure still within 6 feet of each other.
Yeah, like that's somebody up on you breathing like right in your face. And I mean, I think I read it, maybe not the same article, but I've been reading a lot about the Spanish flu or whatever. And it's so fun. Like, really, history really does repeat itself. Everything that's happening now, it happened then with the politicians who were like, it's not a big deal. Then they like, oh, nope, everybody shut down. Everybody must wear a mask, arresting people for not wearing a mask. Everybody fell in line. They relaxed the quarantine. People flew out into the streets, you know, crowded out into the streets, took off their masks, big celebration. And then like another 50,000 people died 2 months later. So it's just, and the same way we have the protesters now, they had like an anti-mask league then, like same thing, you taking our freedoms. Like, it's just, what is life? We're doing the same thing over and over and over again. Like, that's where I spiral to once I smoke the wrong strain or whatever, and I get in my thoughts. That's where I start to like.
Those who are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it, right?
Is the point of all of this, you know? So
yeah,
it's a weird time to be alive.
But those who are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it, right? Like when you really think about that, and you think about how this parallels when you think about emergency powers and authoritarianism and this concept of like nothing is new under the sun, like. Right. Our grandparents are all looking at us like.
I mean, shoot, the most people I see walking down my block are old people. So they they obviously.
Like, we live this life.
Like, people, maybe you're 80. I mean, of course, you don't want to die, but it's also so fucked up. It's just like, oh, I'm at the end of my life and I may have to spend it indoors. You know, that sucks in another way, you know, its own way as well. Like,
yeah.
Is this life? Would it anyway?
I mean, let's be real. If I could have, and I know my mother is watching, if I could have put plywood on the door and locked them in the house,
have your parents been going out?
Nope, not anymore.
Oh, they were though for a while. I mean, a lot of people will post.
I'm about to call my mom out on live stream.
I mean, a lot of people were posting like, my mom won't sit in the house. My dad won't sit his ass down. They keep going to Costco and all that stuff. My mother actually works for the NIH. Is it the NIH? NIH. So she's been on lockdown, you know, in home forever. Wow. But she like, knows all the information. Like, she told me before they said it that it's, you know, it's a Black woman that's working on the vaccine. That makes me feel good. She told me.
Can you say that again? I just want to make sure everybody heard.
A Black woman is working on a vaccine for the United States. Like,
are you saying that Black women are going to save us again?
When have we ever not? You know, so. And so she's the other reason when it started floating that I immediately was getting my shit together because she sent it to me. She's like, hey, this is coming down. This is serious. It's real, yeah. You know. And so she also told me today that regardless of what Trump is saying, that makes it seem like we're so isolated from the rest of the world. Because here's the other thing that's interesting about these protesters. Ain't nobody else protesting in the rest of the world. Everybody else is doing what they're supposed to do. America is the only place this like fighting.
Except for Italy. I mean, did you see the whole like thing the Daily Show said with all of the mayors in the Italian towns who were basically like, I will come and I will destroy your graduation parties. This was in the beginning. We're in Italy now. But like Italians were like, we're going to do it anyway. And the mayors were like, you are.
Yeah, but this is also now we're a month in here. So this, you know what I mean? And the protest happened yesterday, right? Or day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're now a month into it. It's like people have died and are dying. So what do you, and it's just like, do people realize that like the whole world is on lockdown? It's not even just us. This is such a unprecedented thing that's affecting everyone and all at the same time. That gives me some comfort too. Like just thinking about that. Like, it's not just me, everybody.
Everybody in the house,
you know.
Everybody wants to go. Everybody wants out.
Yeah. No more than me, you know. So it's like, what makes you so special? The fuck? And
nothing.
If we all did it, then we would be outside sooner, right? Is what I thought, but people won't.
Did you see the meme that was going out that said, "I feel like the kid that's behaving in class, and everybody else is that one kid that just won't shut up so we can go to recess."
Yeah, I mean, Florida, the fact that all those kids went down there, like that was already fucked up. But then they didn't even live in Florida; they all went back to wherever the fuck they from, and spread it there. You know what I mean? So it's every time, even if states are doing, like California, I think has been excellent so far in how they're handling it, but if people are still traveling around and not listening and sneaking over to each other's houses and doing dick appointments and all that shit. I mentioned that because I'm very mad about that. I ain't had no dick and I ain't snuck no dick in. Multiple girls I've spoken to are sneaking dick in. And I'm like,
never said I am behaving. I need all of y'all to get together.
And I'm just like, you holding me back from dick longer because you sneaking it. Also, I've never had dick that I'm willing to die for. So I'm just like, what are you guys? You can't trust men doing regular.
Or lose your sense of taste, smell, and not be able to breathe for 14 days to a month and a half.
That's the other thing I feel like has been, because when people are like, oh, it's just like the flu. Like, no, this shit's, it seems like if it hits you, that shit is hitting you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it. Even if I survive, I don't want it. I don't want to have to go through it. You know what I mean? So, and not only go through it, people are having long lasting effects even after they've recovered. Like, it's just like, anyway,
your body goes through a lot of trauma. And I think it's both sides, right? Like, we're going through this moment and so many other people, right? Like, I think it's so complicated when you have folks who can't make the choice to stay home.
Right.
There are folks who are like, but I could sneak out, right? Right. No, you stay home so they can stay well. That's the trade-off.
I totally get the urge. Like, every time I get the urge to be like, just come over here, or whoever, to text whoever, I call my mother. I'm like a child. I'm like, I want friends to come. And she's like, no. And then I put it back down. So I totally get the urge, but it's just like, again, me, you can't trust men under regular circumstances, much less a pandemic. You can't even trust them to have a
conversation. Argue. Right? I mean, my father's a great man. He's watching right now, but
I'm not going to argue. I'm talking about in like a dating aspect. So obviously if you invite Nick over, they don't live with you. So that's not your, you know, primary relationship or whatever. So you just trusting some man that's been out in the world. You trusting he's been washing his hand and he's been staying away from other people. He's, you know, whatever. And now he already shows that he a rule breaker by coming to your house. So that's like, I can't.
People show who they are with their actions.
Yeah. Just so like that. All right, good work, girl. I hope it was great because that might be it for you.
Well, and I think that's really real. For those who are like getting introduced to your comedy and the work you're doing, talk about the show that you're working on. And then, you know, why comedy? I mean, I know why, because we had this conversation before. But like, comedy was kind of born out of something else for you.
I mean, my dad died. So that's what happened while I started comedy, because my dad got sick and I was like all depressed about that. And so now I'm like, what's going to be born out of this shit? Because every time something big happens in my life, I just like blow my whole life up and start.
The universe has got to write itself.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to be a literal clown after this shit. But you're going to see me juggling on the streets. But I mean, why comedy? I didn't like pursue it in any real way. It just really seems like something I'm good at. Like I think in joke form. I never was a person that was like, oh, I'm so funny. I've just always been an asshole. I've always been really sarcastic. And then people think that's funny for whatever reason. And it has worked for me. But, and I just also enjoy this is also something that I didn't even know was possible. But as you go further, you realize how many different things you can do within comedy, you know? So it's not only stand-up. I started writing for TV. I started acting. And so that's what's kept me in it. If it was just stand-up, I probably would be bored by now. I get really bored by things relatively quickly. So I would have probably been trying to do something else by now if it was just stand-up. But you can do so many things and be in so many different environments and learn so many things in comedy. So that's why I've stuck with it.
That's dope. And so while we're uncertain that there will be a Janelle James comedy festival,
I doubt this year. I mean, I kind of floated with my producer, like doing a virtual one or whatever, but I don't even know if that's something that people want. I don't know. So I have to think about it as we get and see what's happening in the world at that point. But I know me myself, it's going to be a while before I'm comfortable going in a room. Mm. Full of people. It's going to need to be cured. It's going to need to be vaccine. It's going to need to be tested. Like, it's going to need to be. That's the other thing about them saying they're opening the country. What's the plan? We just open? There's still like in New York, what? It's like still like 400 people dying a day, right?
A little bit more, but yeah.
What's the, so just everybody goes to go back outside? It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm sorry, I took it away from comedy.
No, but I think that's an interesting part of the dynamics of being a comedian, because there's so many different levels of comedy, right? And at the core, most comedians are stand-up comedians. And if they're not primarily stand-up comedians, a lot of those still do stand-up. Like all the comedians I know, still, even if they're writers, they create a show, they do pilots, they work on TV, they still do stand-up.
Right, but even if you're not a stand-up, if you're a improv actor, you need a group of people. If you're a comedic actor, you need production to happen. Like the entertainment industry, as far as our shit is gonna be, it's gonna be
a minute.
And so, you know, I'm like, I guess this show that I've been working on writing is about to be animated, because it's going to be mad cartoons. Like, it's going to be so much cartoons coming down the pipe, because I don't know how you're going to get the crew and the amount of people it takes to make a TV show. We could all be in the house with our ring lights till the end of time, but that's going to get old. You know what I mean?
Well, that's interesting, because Simone Missick's show, All Rise, announced that they were going to do a coronavirus episode.
I mean, sure, but I also don't want to.
One is new and interesting. I don't know if a full season.
That's what I'm saying. I also don't want to watch pandemic entertainment the whole time I'm experiencing it. You know what I mean?
Entertainment. I actually kind of like the term.
I know what's happening. I'm in it. I don't need to watch it as well. So
a little too meta. It's a little too meta. You need an escape.
Give us a couple years out of this shit, then it's like, remember when? Like, I'm good with that, but no. Well,
the funny thing is, I'm playing video games right now. The one video game I was playing before this all happened has to do with zombies and an epidemic, and I'm like,
see, I don't mind something that's about an epidemic, but not the one we're currently in. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I like watching motherfucking English, you know, King Arthur and the Queen Elizabeth and the white witch and all that bullshit. I like that kind of shit. And in all of those, there's a pandemic. There's
the plague.
The plague.
Yeah.
It's always happening. So what, and those are almost comforting, because I'm like, oh, what a different way to experience the shit that we're experiencing right now. They had no idea what was going on. You just be walking down the street with your homegirl and they just fall out on the street.
And then Mary Sue died of consumption in the sum of 1462.
Dudes come out with a cot and just cart her off, and you can't even go home and watch Netflix after that shit. So it's just, I'm trying to.
Well, I was joking with somebody the other day. Before all of this started, when it wasn't real enough, I looked at them. I said, "You do know these are the stories that get written." Where it's like, and then it was the sum of 1642 when everyone survived the Great Fever except for Jimmy.
Yeah,
under the tree in the backyard near the apples.
Yeah,
the apples like that. That
survives. A teacher will be like, turn to page 62 for the COVID-19 of 2020 pandemic and write a paper about it. Like we're in it. So.
Oh, am I laughing? Am I crying? No one knows. Oh, man.
Great?
Yo, but at least I will say the one thing that has been cool is folks who are trying to be productive have digital means. You know, I've seen some people try to do improv through Zoom. I'm not there yet. I think it takes a lot of skill and a lot of talent to be able to be that responsive.
I'm wondering how they're monetizing that, though. I am not in the free work game. You know what I mean? So, and even though I do it, I'm constantly posting jokes online and Twitter and da, da, da. That is free work. Like, people don't think of us giving a product out, but that is what we're doing as comedians. But I had no problem doing that previously because that then could translate into people coming to my shows. So it's just like, sure, I can be productive, but to what end? Is it just for my sanity? That's also fine. But I'm just like, how the fuck am I going to make money? You know what I mean? So, and if I do want to still be a comedian, like, how am I going to monetize those things? So it's, and I know part of it too is just like maintaining relevancy. Like, hey, don't forget about me, you know, kind of. Yeah. So I've just never, I don't know. So my new thing, I'm experimenting. My new thing.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I mean, I've never been a visual person on Instagram. If you follow me, I'm posting jokes on Instagram. You know what I mean? And just trying to, I mean, I think it's a testament to how good my jokes are that people still follow me for that. You know what I mean? I'm on there competing with ass and titties and twerking and music videos and you know, routines and all that with words. The
algorithm of Instagram.
Right. And I'm over there typing words and pasting it over there. So it's been good. And then now I've been doing like short stories in my Insta stories, like along with music. So that's been, and then people like discuss it with me and stuff. So that's been me trying to not even be productive, but just keep my mind, my brain from turning into mush. But it's just like, okay, so I've done it. People like it. To what end? So?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of thing is a lot of us are throwing stuff into the ether and just kind of just creating for the sake of creation's sake. But I think that's also a real statement that a lot of people aren't honest enough to make, which is, what do I do after this? And allowing yourself to be like, I don't know.
I really don't. And what's so funny is too, my like agents and stuff, like I'm still doing auditions. I'm still doing, you know, meetings, Zoom meetings, and I'm just like, do y'all know something? I don't know, because as far as I know, ain't shit getting made for a minute. So
people still making announcements of folks being cast for movies, man.
I know. I'm like, shooting when? Where? What? And it's also
shooting begins in 2024.
I mean, it's also a testament to how much money is in the entertainment industry, because like my manager is rich as fuck, and so it don't even, It don't hit them the same way. You know what I mean? He's like, called me like 3 days after I've been home. Like, hey, what's up? What's going on? I'm like, nigga, it's a pandemic. That's what's going on. Like, why are you
home? I'm home.
What, but he's at his fucking compound by the pool or whatever. So he's like, hey, isn't this great? not that it isn't great, but I'm just like, why are you talking like nothing has changed? That's money. That's what
yeah.
I was
talking about. Talk to him a month. Tell him a month from now.
I think he'll still be fine. Like, I don't, again, like, I don't think people understand. And I didn't either until I got around real money, what comfort real money affords you. Like, in my head, you know, it's, I think people think, I mean, just like this stimulus check we just got or whatever, like a lot of people are like, yo, I got my, I feel like they think like of money as things. Oh, I can buy this now. I can buy this now. That's not, wealth is comfort. Like shit that's happening and affecting the whole world won't even touch me. Like that's what real money is. You know what I mean? My whole family is, I was able to bring my whole family to my house. I don't even got to worry about what's happening with my family. They're all here in my 16 bedroom house. You know what I mean? We have entertainment. We have
like, moving in with us.
That's what wealth is, you know? So yeah. I next month he'll still be the same. He'll still be like, hey, Janelle, got an audition for you.
That's his job, earnest keep.
Meanwhile, I've like shaved the middle of my head. I'm just
looking at Janelle's Instagram.
I have like scheduled crying times and he's just like, hey, what's up?
You will literally get, I will literally like, yep, you will get the, sis, you good?
And I mean, that's the other thing. Like I've been checking in with my friends and stuff, but it's just like, and then of course everyone's like, yeah, I'm great. Or not great, but yeah, you know, hanging in. I'm like, when people start like, no, I'm not good. What do I then say? Because usually.
Since I'm not good either.
Like, yeah, I mean, usually when you check in on somebody, you're in a good place. If we all experience it, it's just like, I don't even know how to help you because I'm fucked up, you know? So, so it's going to be, because that's another thing that people aren't. I mean, it's a lot to talk about. So I know that's why everything has been touched on, but we're all going to be mentally, like people who had it together are falling apart. So people like me who was already anxious, I'm a depressive, you know what I mean? I'm already a loner and I already am a worst case scenario thinker, you know what I mean? So it's just,
Please don't watch any apocalypse movies. Just don't.
I've already watched. They're all in here. I don't forget shit, you know? So it's, yeah. And just even less about, no, not less. In addition to, oh, I might die, my family might die, da, da, da. I'm very much like, this is not a life I want to experience. So I'm just like, how long is this going to go?
Yeah.
And I mean, I have kids. My kids are on the East Coast. I don't know when I'll be able to get to them. I have a plane ticket. I just keep pushing it because I'm scared. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I going to get on a plane? It's so many variables. I have to get to the airport. I have to get through the airport. I have to get on the plane. Once I land, I have to get to them. It's not like they live at the airport. Like, it's just, I have to come in contact with so many people. I'm just like freaking out. So
yeah,
it's a lot to deal with.
But it's real. And I'm really glad. I'm really glad that this conversation happened today because it is a real conversation a lot of people don't want to necessarily have.
Yeah, I'm the only person that's separated from my family. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are eventually stuck wherever they were working at the time, you know, and it's just trying to figure out.
Yeah. And I remember when they first said that, I said, they were like, don't go anywhere that you're not okay with being there for 14 days.
Right.
Let alone being there. Yeah. I wish we had more time, but I want to make sure that everybody who's listening knows where to
find me. I'm a downer again. I'm never funny on your show.
It's not a lot in life. It's fine.
Comedian Janelle James. I'm like, hi, I'm sad. Follow me for laughs.
Oh.
Are you okay?
I am. I'm good. I needed this today. My show is part therapy for me. That's great.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. For those who want to follow you.
Yeah, follow me. I've never had more time to talk to strangers. So hit me up. I am responding to every DM and email. But I do really like, because, you know, a thing I hadn't realized was I was so busy. This is me going to ending this on a bright side type shit. I really love music. Like, I have records, and, you know, when I used to DJ, like, I'm just very into it. And I had been so busy, I hadn't really been listening to music a lot. So that's one thing that I've rediscovered while in quarantine. And so I've been I was thinking maybe I'll do something music related for whatever fucking Look At Me show I come up with. So that's been one good thing. So follow me on Instagram, watch my stories, go down memory lane with me. I'm talking about my wild ass teenage life through music.
Will you name the show My Wild Ass Teenage Life?
Sure. There we go. So yeah, so that's been a good thing, rediscovering music and still alive.
Hey man, some days that's the best we can do.
Yeah. Still alive. So all right. Thank you, Pat. Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
Creative Quarantine is hosted by Angelique Roche. It's produced by Angelique Roche, Sarah Storm, and Matt Storm. Our logo is designed by Aaron Leffler. New streaming episodes are available Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on angeliqueroche.com/creativequarantine. Podcasts are made available the morning after each live streamed episode, wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and visit us on Instagram at creative.quarantine and Twitter at creativeqtine. Please send this to a friend who needs a little artistic company and stay at home if you possibly can. We'll see you soon.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.